Join the football pod on Off the Ball.
You can have big men and be nowhere out there. You have to be in the right spots or you'll be exposed.
Over the last 4 weeks, they've won 3 championship matches on the Spain. Phenomenal stuff.
Join in the obsession and tune in to the football pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Two boys fresh on a bank holiday Monday. How are we, fellas?
Oh, fantastic, Tom.
I'd say I'm a bit fresher than Jimmy.
I'm not too bad.
You look great.
I did have a busy weekend.
You always
don't
look good.
Feel great now. Hey. It was rough for my Monday minute this morning.
It was tragic. Sure, it was tragic today. You could tell you were dying. Your Monday minute. You could tell.
AIB sponsored the show, Tommy. Jesus Christ.
I know. But usually he's got this flow and he's got this rhythm. And it was just like cut, edit.
There was no cuts and edits. It's one take, baby.
No, Jimmy,
knock
today,
it off the park.
After a heavy weekend, how many takes did this morning take for you?
I'd say more than a minute anyway.
The Monday 25 minute.
I could not pronounce the word Donegal for some reason. I kept getting stuck. And that was at the very end of the minute, so I'd have to go back and start the whole thing again.
A whole Celtic Cup review, and then you get to Donegal and you fuck it up.
I was just getting more and more pissed off then. Well, sure, look, I'll be back to my best next week, Tom.
You know, I know. But and look, I shared it, obviously, on the Football Pod page, and we got some comments that we'll get to later on. A couple of questions. A lot more questions about James and the actual football at the weekend. But the football was sensational. Let's talk about it, lads. Where are we starting? Because everyone was in action. There's a lot of
Derry Galway. The only place to start is Derry Galway. That was sensational. It's one of the most enjoyable games I've watched in a long time. The intensity of both teams, the tackling, the turnovers, then the obviously massive twist at the end, and then a twist back. I thought I had everything, and it did not go as expected. Like the big boys for Galway did not play well, did not turn up, and they still managed to bring it back from the brink. They were out. Like they were gone. Like, out of the championship, favourites or second favourites, whatever people have them as, they were gonzo, and they managed to fight it back. So, I mean, it'll be a strange training week for them, because a lot of fellas will be very disappointed. Their egos will be dunted after being taken off when the game was there. And now they have to go and get a result, and they're up against it. I mean,
Jimmy, but Armagh winning, and Armagh true as group winners, that is a massive plus for Galway. Like, this, Armagh are not going to put out their full team in that game. No chance. They're ready for a quarter final. Tommy, no chance. It makes it easier for Galway. Still not by any means, because you said it, Jimmy. Whatever about whoever Galway are playing, they're not playing well. You know, we've seen teams, you know, inconsistent performances where one week they're brilliant, the next week Tyrone, I was at that game on Saturday night, brilliant against Donegal and Ballybuffet. They were terrible on Saturday night at home. Galway haven't had that peak yet. Maybe for a quarter in the Connacht final. You know, that before half time where they blew Mayo away, but they're just not playing well. But definitely Armagh winning that game in Croke Park yesterday and securing top spot, it ain't going to be the first Armagh team they're playing in 2 weeks' time. And that is a massive advantage for Galway. Still, by no means are they guaranteed to win that game. But that game at Celtic Park yesterday was, without a doubt, the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, can I explain my look there about the Armagh team? I just think that their 15 is so fluid with a couple of different players that I think Rian O'Neill's playing. I think players are going to get in that want to start and get minutes and put their hand up that they're going to start. But they're not going to be
fighting for their lives.
No, it's a huge plus. It's a huge bonus. Yeah, it's a huge bonus. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, can we talk about how... Go for it, yeah.
I know we always say they're down or they're missing or they've replaced 6 or 7 or 8 of the team from last year or from the finalists, but like their half back line, like Ross McQuillan and Jarley Oak, the athleticism, the power, the pace, the way they can get out of trouble and score and be a threat. Like, you'd hate to be a wing forward and have to pick up one of them, because you'd be thinking, I don't know where I'm going to spend my time in this game. I think I'm going to be defending against the lads. So I think that that is a serious upgrade that they have in terms of their attack. Obviously, they're also big lads, big physical, good in the air. But like, the way they can get the ball from defence to attack with them running it is such a weapon. Such a weapon. Yeah,
it's huge. No, they've been brilliant. We'll come back to Armagh in a couple of minutes and perhaps the Dubs and maybe what went wrong and some of the issues they had on Sunday in Croke Park. But like, Derry Galway, James, like Derry, I think, impressed us all. Like, this is the Derry a lot of us were hoping was still there. Like, it was a proper performance for them. And yet still, 8 points up, they couldn't get the job done. You could tell how good Conor Glass was. It felt like a defeat for Derry after that game. But still, would you be happy in that dressing room in terms of performance?
From a Galway point of view?
No, Derry.
From a Derry point of view, yes. I think that they reached a level of intensity that they haven't reached in probably 18 months. Like, they were at it. Like, Lachlan was tackling fellas. He was sprinting around the place. Shane McGuigan was sprinting. And it just sets a level, it sets a tone in the whole team when you see the inside forwards do that. And that was really their kind of their trademark for the day, was like, we're going to tackle you within an inch of your life and pounce on you then. But like, from a Galway point of view, they couldn't get there. And so many things went wrong for Galway. Like, even if you think back to the last play, right? Or the play for the goal.
Mm.
When Malloy takes the shot for a two-pointer. Like, Malloy's a very good player, but he's not a kicker or finisher. Never mind a two-point kicker in the latter stages of a match when you need a score. Like, they just seem disjointed and seem to be making crazy decisions constantly. And they kind of lost a bit of... They lost kind of control of what they were doing, and they were just kind of winging it. Even a couple of balls went into Comer that they did win, but they were kind of hopeful enough balls. So I think they kind of ran out of ideas.
Daly played a couple of buttes in, but like, you talk about the two pointers, like it felt crazy. It felt like Galway had loads of time, even though they were 8 down. But they kept going for two pointers in those conditions in Celtic Park, and it was like, if you just keep running at them, and they were running at Derry, and they were opening them up for points. But like, let me just ask you about this,
Paddy. That story is going to wait till you see the latter stages. Teams are, I know people are saying it's more exciting. Like, people were pissed off with the old style of play where it's work the ball into a really set position and get your scoring efficiency up. But we are seeing it. We've seen it with Dublin yesterday. Obviously, we've seen it with Galway yesterday as well. We've seen it loads of times in the championship already, and we are going to see it in all our quarterfinals and semifinals. The two-pointers they're exciting, but they're causing havoc for teams taking shots. Like, there are people, the wrong players, taking crazy shots, and composure seems to be going out the window. Like Galway panicked. Yes, they got out of jail with Matty Tierney's goal at the end. Like, Kieran Malloy's shot, I couldn't believe he took it on, and it was so bad it actually worked out.
Shot he had before the punt. I thought his confidence would be shot after that.
At least that was a one-pointer. The two-pointer thing, teams chasing games, and it's working. If you're in the lead, we're seeing brilliant composure from teams in terms of working the ball to basically a buzzer beater. But teams chasing it, it's like, it is great to watch for a neutral, but it's crazy stuff. Guys that should not be taking shots, taking absolute Hail Marys. Like, and for Galway yesterday, Pádraig Joyce set it up, like, they got out of jail. They were gone, only for a break, a deflection, and Matty Tierney gets his hand on it, and they still can't close it out. But that the latest bit of drama in that game, it was spectacular. But the two-point thing is, wait till you see this over the next couple of weekends as well. Teams are losing their marbles with this stuff.
It's going to be hard to defend as well, because if you're late stage of the game and you're a point up, like, it's almost hard to stop the two-pointer and the one-pointer at the same time or something from a defensive point of view. Like, they're going to get a shot off from somewhere. But having a half-back or a cornerback taking a shot for a two-pointer when you're on the verge of going out of the championship is a sin. But the only thing I would say about... Go on, Paddy, sorry.
No, but teams still have shooters. Like, okay, the scoring arc is different, the scoring points are different, but every team still has designated shooters, guys you get the ball to. And the two-point thing has just seemed to throw that out the window, and it's carte blanche for everyone to pull the fucking trigger. We'll get to Dublin later on. Car crash stuff yesterday. Again, not for the first time this season, chasing the game. You still have your key shooters. Get them on the ball. Fuck the two-point thing. Give it to them and trust them. Like, oh, it's frightening, some of the stuff we're seeing from teams.
I have to give a lot of credit, Tommy, to Finnerty for his creativity for Tierney's first goal. Like, when you're in that situation, the defender's in your eye line, there's another defender, like, all he saw was hands and bodies, but he still managed to look through a gap, see a pass, and then execute a great pass to Tierney for the finish. Like, that was a great bit of play, and that saved them. That actually gave them the bit of life that they needed, because without that bit of creative brilliance, they were definitely gone. And then they got the luck after that, that maybe did they deserve or not, but unless they had that bit of brilliance from Finnerty, they were definitely gone.
There was two bits that kind of stood out to me. Like, we're talking about Galway not functioning like maybe well as a unit at the minute. Some of their individual players are making things happen, though. You mentioned Finnerty there. I thought Matthew Thompson, lads, has been
very good.
Such a find. And like, before the Finnerty pass, it's Thompson that plays the probing ball beyond the Derry defender to get Liam Silk away, who finds Finnerty from the sideline. Do you remember Glass contesting the sideline? And he's kind of caught and kind of saying it's our ball, and next thing he's out of position. And Thompson, remember for Shane Walsh's goal, he steps his man beautifully and puts it away. It was Thompson's pass over the back of to Walsh was, again, a lovely little... It's quite a unique kind of a style of a pass. Like, can you picture what I'm talking about, James? Is that kind of little left, deft kind of little probing pass over the top? Just thought that was great. And then you mentioned a bit of luck for the goal. It was the exact same as the kind of the lucky goal they got against Dublin. It's John Maher chasing a lost cause and keeping the ball in play, and they're punching the ball. Do you know, Finnerty got the same one against Dublin, I think. So, you know, there's a bit of luck, but there's also a bit of something there that's keeping them in it. So, absolute luck. Derry are still alive as well. They're facing Dublin, as we said. It's like this bloody round robin series. I'm not going to start complaining about the fact that we're changing it next year. I think there are faults to it, and I think it's probably putting a bit of a squeeze on people's pockets. I don't think attendances are what they could be, but by God, are we getting drama this year with it, lads. We are getting something special with it. I just wonder, could the week be found somewhere else? Maybe the round robin system is exactly what we need, and we just need to find a tweak somewhere else.
Tommy, it's spectacular. It's going back to the old way, isn't it? Top two go through.
It's kind of... It's a 1A, it's kind of a, instead of three rounds, there's two. So if the winners of round one are going into round three, and the losers of round one play each other in round 2A or whatever. So there's like a back door. Like,
2 weeks' time, the final round of group matches is going to be another spectacular weekend.
it's going to be unbelievable.
It's magic stuff.
Yeah, they should have just held fire for a couple of weeks. Derry, Derry.
I thought we were moving on from Derry Grantees.
This is the thing, you know, like, I think Dan Higgins has been a find. It's still very much a lot of the same players, but it was that bite, that fire that we saw. And I actually want to give credit to the referee, Niall Cullen, here. I thought while he was pernickety with stuff off the ball, which he had no time for, he booked five players in the first 30-odd minutes. He let the tackles and the hits flow, and he rewarded the kind of high press and let Derry turn over Galway a lot. So Derry were able to set the tone at home, and I thought that really paid off. Like, McFaul was involved in a lot of turnovers. Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers were again unbelievable. And
they were the two for me, Tom.
Led itself to a brilliant game.
Glass and Rodgers were phenomenal. Like, so, so, so good. They're playing at an unbelievable level. Glass can do everything. Rodgers can do everything. Like, even their kicking, their finishing, Glass kicking 45s. These fellas have so many strings to their bow. And even when you see Glass interviewed after the game, he's definitely a fella that you can get behind in the dressing room. He seems so level-headed, so cool, such a leader. And he's just such an impressive, impressive character. And think the Derry are without McCluskey and McInnes. Like, arguably two of their kind of better defenders, like, to be missing them, to be missing them is a huge loss. And then Lachlan Murray doesn't start for him. I'm obviously a corner forward, so is Paddy. That fella is a great bit of stuff. I don't know how he's not making the team.
He was angry.
He comes on, makes the goal, yeah, but kicks over a couple of lovely points. We wanted to take on his man. It's like the new rules completely suit him. But I thought he had a great impact, did a brilliant job for them. So they still have so much quality across the team.
Yeah, no, massively so. Let's stick then with this group, right? Because the table now looks like Armagh through to the All-Ireland quarterfinals on 4 points. The All-Ireland champions are the only team straight through to the quarterfinals. They're on 4 points with 2 wins. The Dubs are on 2 points. They're on a -4 scoring difference. Galway are on 1 point and Derry are on 1 point, which means that in the final round of games, as we've already mentioned, Galway are facing an Armagh side that are already through. If they win, they're through to their knockout stages. If they draw, Dublin would have the head-to-head in them if Dublin lose to Derry. So like, they need to win to actually guarantee their way through. And Derry need to beat Dublin to progress ahead of them. So it's going to be crackers. Who knows where those games are going to be played. They're not going to be in Croke Park. The CCC is going to be making the call tomorrow on where everything's going to be played. So we'll have all the details tomorrow. We'll have them for our members' pod on Wednesday. But let's just talk about the Armagh and Dublin game here, because, Paddy, like, I was flying home yesterday evening. I got the first 30 minutes. And just after that burst where Armagh kind of pulled away in the first half. But the Dubs were playing quite well. But things weren't clicking up top. It was weird. They were shooting into the hill, their home ground. And it wasn't going over the way it usually does. There's usually a gravity pulling the ball over the bar for the Dubs in Croke Park. It wasn't happening this time. What did you see was going wrong?
There was a bit of a breeze. The breeze was actually favoured into the canal end, which makes the second half shambles up front even more inexplicable. It was very similar to the league game 3 months ago up in the Athletic Grounds. That Armagh got on top on the kickouts in that second quarter and they dominated. Very similar to that National League game where they built up ahead of steam. Dublin just couldn't get out. And Armagh, you kind of wondered, had they done enough with that breeze? Reid O'Neill coming back, Rory Grugan, they were both exceptional yesterday. You know, Reid O'Neill has come back, like, he hasn't missed a beat. What a plus he is for Armagh. But in the second half, Dublin come out and they create so many scoring opportunities. You know, in a way, I was looking at Dublin going, they're actually playing all right here. But same in that National League game up in the Athletic Grounds, their conversion rate was absolutely diabolical. It was as bad a shooting exhibition as I have seen from Dublin in, I can't remember. I honestly cannot remember a game like that. And you could hear it in the crowd, the groans. This was my point earlier on, chasing the game. So does that give license to lads to just basically have a volley from 45, 50 yards out? This is what we said from Dublin's perspective, is that they have some very, very high quality players, but they have newer guys with not that much experience or that maybe a bit of composure. And it came home to roost again yesterday. They had the opportunities to win that game, and that's against one of the absolute bona fide top teams in the country. And their sloppiness in attack was criminal. You know, they three up breaches in the space of 3 or 4 minutes.
And that
gave Armagh 3 points into a big breeze, just kept Dublin at arm's length. And Jimmy, you know, when you're chasing a game, and you get up ahead of steam, you need things to go right. And if you, like a bad wide or a sloppy turnover under these new rules, a breach like that, and a tap over score for the opposition, and that just kills your momentum. And Dublin did that about 15 times in the fucking second half. So it was, and this has been the story of Dublin's season, and do you know what this weekend has taught me with a lot of the teams? This is the story of a lot of teams' season. Inconsistent performances. You know, a massive high to get a result in Salt Hill, followed by a really, you know, they had good energy, but just quality-wise, it was just so, so far off what's needed to win games like that. Like that, they might have got away with that against the Division 2 or Division 3 team. But you're playing Armagh. You know, this is genuine All-Ireland contenders. It's just not going to get the job done. And they go into a game now against Derry in 2 weeks' time. I have no idea how Dublin are going to play in that match. No idea. They could beat Derry by 10 points or they could lose by 15 points. That's where they're at, you know. And I said that, you know, They have potential. They still have brilliant players. But yesterday was just another example of a lack of quality and a lack of composure. Lack of composure. That won't get the job done in the big championship matches. On the other side, Armagh, what a team just motoring along. You said it. McGeaney's the genius of keeping a lot of the core guys still there, but sprinkling in three or four new players to give energy and impetus into the team, to give a bit of a kick in the hole to the guys who have been dropped, you know, from last year's All-Ireland winning team. But you said McQuillan, Jarley Oak-Burns, they're like the Inter Milan fullbacks. The Champions League, just up and down the pitch. And talk about composure, quality, total clarity in what they're doing. Look at the scoring efficiency between both teams. It's not always the winning and losing in the game, but it gives you fairly strong indicator of where teams are at. And I thought Grugan, man of the match yesterday, just a class hey, player, pulling the string. Getting blocks. He's doing it all. He's like Ryder Rovers. But Reid O'Neill, that X factor. We said we didn't expect to see him in the championship. McGeaney had said it only a month ago, and we were talking about Armagh were in a really strong position if only they had that bit of X factor. We see it just glimpses yesterday with his 2-pointers. The one into the hill in the second half, and his little smile afterwards, why wouldn't you? It was a really good day for Armagh, and what it does is they've had a tough schedule. They had the setback in the Ulster final. Topping that group gives them the breather against Galway. Okay, maybe some time you said it, maybe one or two of the guys might start, but they'll narrow the focus on a quarter final. It gives them a bit of a breather. And from Armagh's perspective, they have to win three championship games to win this All-Ireland. Dublin, on the back of losing yesterday, now have to win five massive championship matches in a row, and they ain't going to do that. That is not going to happen, I'm afraid. So that was the prize on offer yesterday. And Armagh, their reward for being consistent, for being precise in how they go about things, how they played that game yesterday, and having that real depth and confidence and clarity in their play, they have put themselves in an unbelievable position now, and it's well deserved. But Dublin, I don't know what's going to happen against Derry. They put themselves in that position because they had opportunities yesterday.
James, I want to ask you about Armagh in a moment off the back of what Paddy was saying there, but how do you explain 18 wides, four shots drop short, the drop in the performance levels from the Galway game? Like, how do you explain that looking at the dubs?
I can't. I can't. That is the one thing of Dublin that you would always refer back to them. First, the way they combine the ball in big moments. And the second one is their scoring efficiency and shot selection is always bang on. But I suppose they were missing shots that were in the scoring zone, like that they certainly should be scoring. So I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, it's like a massive off day in front of the post. But I always say you're only as good as your conversion rate. If your conversion rate is that bad and you're giving away 3 points for no reason, just when you're trying to get momentum, those two things coupled together, they were beaten. But I agree with Paddy. I don't think that they're going to get... There's so many things just that don't look right with them, that they have too many games to win now in too short a time. I'd be shocked if Dublin were around and come the All-Ireland final. I think that they're going to be in trouble. They don't seem to have got to that level.
That's interesting.
That they usually get to.
The only positive thing, right, is they still have... Like after the game yesterday, I was frustrated, obviously. They still have the potential to take out one of the big teams.
Once or twice even. Five, because the teams are so close.
Yeah, five on the spin, I would be amazed. I agree with you, Jimmy. And we kind of said this at the start of the championship, never mind what's happened, that the lows of me, the high of beating Galway yesterday, then 38% was the scoring rate. Like I said, they won't be that bad again. And the one positive you could say is, okay, Conn coming back makes a big difference. He will be back, I believe. It's not a season-ending injury.
Okay.
But it was definitely a month. So if it's a month from 2 weeks ago, he's going to miss.
Well, the Derry game is going to be in 2 weeks. So
he's going to miss that, really.
But that's the challenge for Dublin now. And look, maybe this is the way it should be. Like, it's knockout championship now. You know, it's shit or get off the pot. But the one thing you'd say in their favour is they created a lot of chances. And it's the one caveat for Armagh, that Dublin in the second half created a lot of opportunities, and with a bit better quality, they were right in that game to win it as well. So that's what Dublin fans will hang their hat on, what Desi Farrell and those players go, okay, we did some things right there. We, you know, the energy, the work rate, all that stuff, which was missing in the Meath game, at least, it's an improvement. But the technical side of things, if Dublin get hot and they're more accurate, they can absolutely take out one or two teams. But they've put themselves in a position now where they have to do that five times in a row, and we just I don't see it. And yeah, what a game that is against Derry now, because
it's going to be unbelievable.
Derry, you said Rogers and Glass has been exceptional all year. You know, Derry haven't won a match in a year now.
Glass has been like that.
That's he's been exceptional.
15 years of age. Like, that's how Conor Glass has operated for the last 15 years.
The one thing, because we'll get on to the other group, the Kerry, Tyrone, or the Tyrone group now. Derry.
Can I ask one more question about Armagh before we go? Go on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, go on.
Just Derry. You said it, Jimmy. Why were Derry so good yesterday? They matched the quality they have in terms of their key players, Rogers, Glass, McGuigan getting somewhere near back to his best, with a ferocious work rate and energy. And this is a massive story in the championship so far. Teams are really, really struggling to do that week on week. You know, we seen it. I could not get over. I was at Healy Park on Saturday night. I was expecting Tyrone to stick the knife in here, the position they put themselves in that group. And they were in quicksand in that match for the entire match. It was literally like they played a match the day before. They had no energy, no zip, no anything. And we keep saying it, there's so little between the teams. If you put in a performance like that where you're low on energy, you are going to get filled out. You know, and that's, if Derry can bring that energy that they brought, and there's a 2 week gap for everyone else, it's a little bit of a breather. If they bring that energy and intensity that they brought to the Galway game yesterday, what a fixture that is going to be against the Dubs.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Do you know, I did think that the reason I'm still not going to rule the Dubs out, and you can never, in the first half especially, I'd say Desi must have had a word with Scully and said, kick every possession again. And honestly, it was working. Like, Paddy Small got plenty ball, Coslow got plenty ball, Baskell got plenty ball. Now, they missed loads, but they were playing a very good brand of football, and they were actually playing very well. And it was because Scully just moved it, got it outside the right, faded into the 13 corner, or an inside of the boot pass into the 15 corner. And he was just running the game for them nicely. But I said, you miss all your shots and you're not going to win. It does come down to that. Like, if they can tidy that up for Derry, you could still see them racking up a good score.
Isn't there enough there, Jimmy? There's still a little bit there with the Dubs. There's still a little bit there. If it clicks, like we've seen in Salt Hill, and that's what supporters, Dublin hat on, are going into games hoping, the consistency is gone. They're consistently inconsistent. Is today going to be a day where those things click? Because if it does, they can beat anyone in the championship. But they also have the capacity to perform like yesterday, and 10 teams can beat them. If they perform like that. So it's exciting, though. You pull your hair out if you're in the camp, but from watching on, it's an exciting thing.
I think, pause that thought on Armagh, because I have a question on Armagh that might go on for another 5 minutes. Or what are you going to say, James? Go on.
No, I was just going to say one line. I think they're number one. I think they're number one in the country.
Okay, well, my question is, quick answers, I want them here. You can shoot me down straight away or you can play ball with it. Armagh playing better football in 2025? Yeah. Than they did last year.
Without doubt.
I think so.
Without doubt. I think they're playing great football. They're so fast and strong and direct. And then they have that sprinkling of quality, obviously, in Grugan and Reen O'Neill especially. Like, watching those two-pointers go over, it does, it's heartwarming as well as seeing someone else score.
But they're so beautiful. The way they're struck, like Grugan's in the first half on the left for the, you could say the tougher side for a left footer for a two-pointer. And Reen, just caressing them over the bar.
Yeah.
Even outside of the boot ones. But even as outside the boot one, it wasn't an agricultural outside of the boot. It was a soft.
Clipped it over.
It was a soft clip.
Nearly landed up at the premium level. There's a confidence about them. And that's why you look back, three, 4 weeks ago, the heartbreak of that Ulster final defeat again, and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, Armagh can't catch a break. But they've just completely dusted themselves down, and there's just a swagger I would say about them. Why they're in such a good position is the bit of a break. The structure has now worked perfect. That's the prize from yesterday. Remember beating Dublin and Croke Park and the mental G-up that gives you. They've put themselves in a great position. Skip the fucking preliminaries. Skip the last game of the group, even against Galway. We don't need to go to war with those guys again for about the 20th time in the last two or three seasons. We're focused on an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and it just gives time to breathe and recover. And it's a three-game sprint for them now, where all the other teams have four or five games they have to get through. So
it'd be interesting to see what they do for the next game, because if you go into it kind of half-arsed, you'll pick up a knock. Or, you know, you'll throw yourself off a bit. I don't know what the best route for them is. Is it a case of just, look, this is a championship match, we'll go out and we'll win it. Maybe make one or two changes if they have to, but just go at it full throttle. Because if they take the eye off the ball, does it derail their momentum?
Don't play, change everyone. Genuinely.
Would you?
Would you do like what you did in the Super
8? But that's a month.
Fuck the game, Yeah,
but that's a month then with no game, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've had 3 months with games every week. Just fuck the game. McGeady should play himself.
McGeady was saying,
put Starr in full forward. McGeady and McKeever in the halfback line.
McGeady was saying he wouldn't do that, so you're not buying that. Okay, well, we'll talk about Armagh again before they'll run fixtures on Monday week or Wednesday week. Okay, so let's go to Group One, two absolute, utter enigmas of football teams, Tyrone and Mayo. Mm-hmm. Talk about not knowing what to expect from Derry and Mayo or Derry and Dublin when they meet in a couple of weeks. These two, Jesus. What? It was just, Paddy, you were there. I know Tyrone were so flat, but Mayo were bloody brilliant. They were so good.
Just went after them all over the pitch. The big question was obviously the Kevin McStay wasn't around and Stephen Rochford to step in. Is there anything he could really change for Mayo in a week? You know, McStay obviously fell ill at the weekend before, so Rochford would have had maybe two training sessions. One of them was probably just walkthroughs. So how different could it be?
Stephen Rochford's heavily involved in the Mayo setup.
So that's what I'm saying. As anything, are we going to see drastic changes? There was a bit more variety in their attack in terms of the use of Aidan O'Shea. They started putting in longer balls. We know the big change with Mayo, and as crude as it sounds, this is a team that were beaten by Cavan, and Cavan went out then yesterday and were beaten by, annihilated by Donegal. So where 16, are teams at? Mayo just went out and absolutely old school Mayo went after Tyrone all over the pitch. All over the pitch, pressed Morgan's kickouts, were really brave. They put Jack Coyne and Enda Hessian on Darren McCurry and Darren Canavan, and they absolutely were a rash all over those two guys. But Tyrone weren't playing well either. It would have been great to see Mayo in that type of form with Tyrone we seen 7 days earlier in Valley Buffet. I think we would have got an absolute cracker. I thought it was a shy game, lads. Quality.
Did you?
Genuine. Yeah. Okay. It was, as I said to you in the WhatsApp, and maybe more colourful language. But in terms of what Mayo did and what they had to do, they just went after them, and it was backs to the wall. They had to. It was shit or get off the pot for them. And what they got, Ryan O'Donoghue, I thought, encapsulated it perfectly. He works his arse off, that fella. You know, he's so honest, showing for the ball, hard runs, tackling like there's no tomorrow. And his first half, he wasn't happening for him, but he was in the game. And eventually finishes at 1-6 because Mayo get on top.
Set up a lot of scores.
Set up things. But that was just, Mayo just outworked them all over the pitch. And Malik O'Rourke said it after the game. It just absolutely summed it up. He goes, we never got to the pitch of the game. We just could not replicate what we showed in Ballybuffet 7 days before. A performance based on energy, quality. They couldn't get their key guys into the game. I was always excited to go and see Darren Canavan play. He gets the goal, obviously, but really on the periphery of the game. Same with Darren McCurry. Whereas you look at Mayo's key guys, Paddy Durkin comes back, 3 points.
Brilliant.
Reeling in the ear stuff from him. Aidan O'Shea grows into the game, just influencing, not as much on the scoreboard, obviously, but just a handful for Peter Teague. And Mayo just outworked Tyrone all over the pitch. and it was a Tyrone that just could not get out of second gear. Like I say, not the highest game on quality, but what it does in this group now, or as we're saying in the other groups, Mayo play Donegal now to stay in the championship. And like, what do we see from Mayo in 2 weeks' time? This is a team that were outplayed, like played off the pitch by Cavan, and then a week later go and absolutely annihilate Tyrone in Healy Park. So I fucking give up, lads. I don't know what to expect from them.
Yeah, another fella.
I couldn't believe that result. Like, in fair, and fair play to Mayo, because they've obviously been up against it, obviously with what happened to Kevin McStay, and to come and turn it around and put in a performance like that and a result like that is serious going. You know, that just proves that the dressing room is strong, that the leadership is there, that they still have the hunger for it, that they have the stomach for it. It's a serious result. I'm just looking at how this group is going to go. And obviously, it's a lottery. But I still think Donegal would fancy their chances of beating Mayo, right? And I think Tyrone will probably beat Cavan, which will put Mayo out and Cavan through. So they're still going to be... they're going to have to get up. Would that put Tyrone top?
Yeah, because Tyrone will be level with Donegal and they'll go on the head-to-head.
They go head-to-head, yes.
We'll do the proper permutations at the end, yeah.
It's mad.
It's great. It's phenomenal. What a group that's going to be for that final weekend.
It's going to be class. Can we mention another fella there? Because I thought Ed McGreal, Mayo journalist, had a great line. He goes, "This man tonight was sensational for Mayo. He creates 1-2 that no one else could have. It was from nowhere. He makes a terrific block and a turnover in front of the stand. Unbelievable impact. His run for the penalty was incredible. Nothing looked on when he took possession. Take a bow, David Neary." Like that. That's a fella now who, you mentioned Lachlan Murray earlier on. There was a couple of fellas who come on and had a big impact with 20-odd minutes to go. David Neary was superb when he came into that game.
Keep him on the bench, though.
Do you reckon?
I think they found a niche for him there. It's Soupy Campbell. He started games. He's got that. We compared to Stephen O'Hanlon from Manhattan at wing forward, where there's loads of energy and pace and dynamism. Maybe end product isn't always there, but what a guy to bring in with 20, 25 minutes to go.
Yeah, definitely.
James, because it was the first half was cagey. You know, Mayo got up for a couple of roadies. Brickenden was really good. You know, Mayo just had really solid performances around the pitch, and then a bit of stardust with the likes of Paddy Durkin and Ryan Dunne, who got hard at the end. But Neary coming in is a little bit of something as gaps and spaces open up. So that's the problem. You come play well coming off the bench, you can fucking end up staying there. The old Kevin McMenamin story.
The halves are so long. Anyway, this... You really wouldn't mind if you were guaranteed, you'd be guaranteed half an hour. You know, coming on with 10 minutes to go, you get half an hour out of it. But the David Neary thing, I think he's a super player because he's so direct. He wants to take on his man every single time. And he has that ability to carry the ball, swing the hips, play it under pressure, still take the hop and solo at the right time. I think he's excellent. I think there's something there. I agree that sub role is key. But in the new rules, if you can take on your man and if you can kick that ball, one of those traits or both, you're going to be an outstanding player. If you've one of those, you're going to be a serious handful to stop.
Yeah. He's a rough diamond. He was a great find for him this year. You get a totally different experience watching the pod on YouTube than you do listening to it. James, at 10:30 on Saturday night, I'd say you were a couple of pints deep. And I don't know how to describe your relationship.
He was texting me during the Kerry match. And that was at what time? 4 o'clock, 5:00, like. So
we were both sending you pictures of points. But at user UpMayo, who I presume is a supporter, not a fan, or maybe a fanatic, maybe you can call him a fanatic of Mayo, had a video, obviously had it saved, of Paddy saying, "No, we don't know what we'd expect from Mayo this weekend." And James, Paddy, I'm not even sure you saw it from James, just the shake of the head. They're a tough team.
I'm not on Twitter, lads. So
I did not think that anybody watches this. I thought that maybe the odd few would listen, but I didn't think that anybody was going to catch us all on that. I have to stop reacting to what people say. But
nobody had Mayo winning that game.
No, I certainly didn't either. Yeah, James, I owe you for that one.
Oh, well, he caught it. And I wouldn't mind when he tweeted it. He zoomed in as well. He zoomed in just as I was shaking the head. It was like, he should have put some music to it as well.
It happens.
I put my hands up. I was wrong. No problem.
Listen, who wants to predict this year's championship is absolutely reckless. I'm going to briefly touch on Cavan Donegal. Cavan are still in it, but they were beaten by 19 points at home. A sickener, really, in front of their home fans. There was, I think, a couple of points in and at the break before Finbar Rorty got a late goal. And next thing that spread to seven. They ended up losing by 326 to 116. Obviously, a lot of the Donegal boys are fighting for their lives for a position on that team at the minute. And the bench come on and took their chances when they came in as well. So that was a crushing blow for Cavan. But they have one more chance. And looking at the permutation of this group, all four are locked on 2 points. Obviously, a massive swing after that Donegal-Cavan result. So Cavan's plus minus is minus 16. Tyrone are minus 4. Mayo are 4 points. And Donegal are 6 points. Scoring difference is only going to come into it if the final two games end up in draws. So if Donegal and Tyrone win, Tyrone will top the group. Cavan will finish in third position. They beat Mayo in the head-to-head. If Donegal and Cavan win, Donegal top the group with Mayo in third spot. So Cavan can still go through without winning at the weekend in that third position. Mayo are still in a difficult position, a really treacherous position if they don't win. So Mayo really need to win against Donegal, so that is going to be an unbelievable game of football in that last round robin game.
But what it does to you, it's like Tyrone are going to be far better the next day. It's a 2 week gap. They won't be as bad as again, and this is the big thing for me from the weekend. Just the championship, it is a war of attrition. Trying to keep the level, you see teams and they reach these emotional highs, and we're going to see it if teams have to come through the preliminary quarters, into the quarters, into the semis, reaching this manic high like Tyrone did 7 days before. They just fell off a cliff, you know. We're seeing this with so many teams trying to back up those emotional performances. No team has really done it. Armagh probably the best component of it, and they've seen the rewards, but lots of teams are struggling with that.
Do you reckon Tyrone took the eye off the ball a bit, or was it pure mental and physical fatigue?
I think it was fatigue. I don't think they were complacent. Mayo coming to town, it was, you know, if one or two players are off it, you could say, they're not focused or whatever it might be. But it was across the 15 players on the pitch. They were just so flat. Mayo was stripping the ball off them, just taking an extra half a second with their decision making, with their skill execution, you know, sloppy hand passes. Even Morgan, obviously for the goal, but kickouts. There was just total lethargy across the whole Tyrone team. That was like a physical just come down after the Donegal game. That's why I would say in a positive way, give them hope that get a bit of a break, get a bit of a breather, recharge the batteries. They'll be far better in 2 weeks' time against Cavan. Cavan trying to get back up for it. Tyrone beat them well in the Ulster Championship. It's just so hard to call, but I'm making a bit of an excuse for Tyrone. I think they'll be better the next day. I think they'll beat Cavan. Straight down to Donegal and Mayo.
The permutations are just so funny. You know, if Donegal beat Mayo, Cavan are true regardless of what happens. That's just the way it is. That's one of the quirks. Lads,
what a system. What a brilliant system we have.
It's mad. But maybe it's coupled with these new rules. It's been an extra bit of spice in the games, and it's just been so entertaining. Going to take a quick break on the football pod. Brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out #TheToughest for more. We're back right after this talking about the other games because there's plenty happening in football this weekend.
OTB GAA.
All right, you're very welcome back to the football pod of Paddy Andrews and James Dunne, who's so much football to talk about. Did you catch the exhibition it was like a throwback to Armstrong and Meehan in the under-21 final back in 05-06 when Galway bet down. McElhome and Noah Grimes. Was it 2-6 and 2-4 between them when they bet Loud the last day? Loud had two unbelievable chances for goals when the game was in the melting pot with about 15 minutes to go. Hit the bar with one, missed another, and Tyrone just took off from there. Just frightening stuff. But the diminutive little corner forwards that Tyrone have.
They've shown ballers, don't they? Back-to-back under-20s, Tyrone are in those boys are going to be serious players, fucking hell. I watched it, it was beautiful. It was. There was some absolute quality, like Jesus Christ. Only little fellas as well. I agree with you, Tommy, but
nothing guaranteed.
Geez, some full forward line. They could have like McElhone, Noah Grimes, McCurry, Derek Canavan. Like there'd be no high balls going in there. Just little one bounce passes into those lads and they cause fucking havoc. Jesus. But it was class. Fair play to Throne. Loud, some ballers as well. The midfielders for Loud. The two midfielders. Ooh.
Very impressive. Ballers. Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
Plenty of good footballers on show across the board. We had the final round of games in the Tailteann Cup as well, and we've actually got the draw for the Tailteann Cup preliminary quarterfinals that I'll bring you now in 2 seconds. But some of the standout results of the weekend. Clare putting up a massive score early doors against Sligo, but we're reeled back in. 419 to 124. Huge scoreline at the weekend. Leitrim 3-9, Tipperary 10 points. Wasn't enough for Leitrim to be able to make it in. They were the fourth best side in third spot, so they didn't make it through to the knockout stages. So Clare go through in top spot. In Group 2, this one flipped on its head as the weeks went on. Wicklow ended up topping the group. They were on 4 points alongside Offaly and Laois. It was a late Mark Barry penalty, lads. This was like Laois, I think, were already through. If he missed it in third place, he had nothing really to gain, only hurting Offaly, and he buried it into the top corner as the neighbours Offaly ended up in second position and go into the preliminary quarterfinals, as do Laois. Wicklow straight through the quarterfinals. Limerick with a brilliant win against Westmeath. James Nocton and co shooting the lights out, 19 points to 18, betting by a point. And Antrim doing just about enough, Andy McAtee's side, to get into the preliminary quarterfinals, a 122 to 114 win against London. And interesting results in Group 4. Fermanagh topping it. Some brilliant performances in the last couple of weeks. 25 points to 115 against Wexford. And Longford, 120 to Carlow, 115. And I saw a tweet from a Twitter account earlier on, Longford Stats, I hope I have that right, that young Matthew Carey, this superb young footballer from Longford, one of their shining lights across the season, became the record scorer in a single game at the weekend. He scored 0-5-5. James, how much is that?
Say it again. He scored 0-5-5.
Yeah.
15 points.
Okay, Paddy, you go, man. Oh. Paddy, you got 600 points in your leaving cert. I wanted to see what James got.
I did. Fuck. Direct entry, baby. DCU.
0.5.
So once you make the under 16 development squad in Dublin, you just automatically get into DCU or DAT or something.
You get a master's, yeah. You get a business master's.
Come on.
So he overtook Brian Kavanagh, quality footballer from the 2000s. Brian Kavanagh's 2.6 was the highest haul before that. So we're going to see a lot of.
I think I was marking him that day. I marked Brian Kavanagh in the Burn Cup final. Yeah, and he scored. That could be the 2.6, maybe. Yeah, might well be. Let's check that out.
Yeah, so that's the... I'll dig that up, Paddy, don't worry. That is the Tailteann Cup, and the quarterfinal draw, the preliminary quarterfinal draw is Offaly against New York, who are going to fly over for that preliminary quarterfinal. It's Sligo up against Carlow, rejuvenated Carlow under Joe Murphy. Wexford against Antrim. Westmeath against Laois. And as I mentioned, Kildare, Wicklow, Limerick, Fermanagh, all through to the quarterfinals. Those games, preliminary quarterfinals, are this weekend. We'll talk about them on our members pod. Before we get to the Kerry Cork game, I want to mention Down and Loud and Roscommon Meath. I'm not sure if you caught some of the highlights of these games, lads, or some of the bits and pieces from them. But Loud had this unbelievable burst in the second half where they cut an 8-point lead down to the minimum with 3 2-pointers in 3 minutes. It was ridiculous stuff. But Down were just superb again. But it was the last play of the game. It was
Crimo.
A block by Adam Crimmins. And
I don't know, Tommy, you're overplaying this already, I think.
I think
Jimmy, it was a good block. It was a good block.
He was always going to be blocked. I could see it. You could see it coming. I've never seen a longer wind-up for a shot.
he's in slow motion. To be fair to him, I think he was injured. He was playing.
Yeah, he was carrying enough. Yeah.
But Adam Crimmins, he makes up the 20 metres in a couple of minutes. But I put up that old clip of Conor Laverty and a group of young lads from Kilcoo blocking ball back, I think, during COVID. And it was just like it. I think Crimmins was too old at that stage to be one of those lads in the drill. But we saw it the next day as well between Roscommon and Meath. Ends up in a draw, so Meath are guaranteed through to the knockout stages alongside Kerry. But both sides,
hey, that's good, Tommy. A little positive for Meath there. Through the group,
massive progress.
You take that
in terms of last
probably
year.
Probably should have won. Probably should have beat the Rossies as well.
I think Roscommon got a bit of joy for the first time in a long time. The cup meet opened for two goals against the win in the first half. Murta and O'Carroll with two good goals. They only scored two pointers in the second half. Enda Smith with three. Dearo Murta with another. Smith missed a penalty as well that Billy Hogan saved. But at the end of the game, in the last couple of plays, both sides were... Maybe the quality was a little lower as the game went on. Both sides were trying to win it desperately. Matthew Costello goes on a brilliant run, but his fisted effort comes up back off the crossbar. Conor Gray misses the chance to bury it and put it away. Roscommon go down the far end. And just as Ben O'Carroll is about to pull the trigger, Sean Rafferty comes back with a tackle after the hooter. So in both games, it's a tackle after the hooter that ends up saving it. So we're seeing these unbelievable moments in attack, but we're also seeing these unbelievable defensive plays as well. And I think McGeaney said it to me in the walk and talk I had with him a couple of weeks ago. We need these 10 plays of the weekend, lads. We need them. We need the 10, you know, shots of the weekend.
On the GAA official account.
Yes, and we need the 10.
Yeah, I agree.
We need it.
Lads, do you follow the Champions League?
Clips, I do.
Clips up to the gills, like. Our old friends at GAA Plus were great for Clips, showing the goals. It's good. So GAA need to get it out there. I wholeheartedly agree with McGeaney.
Yeah, I think he's right with that one. But there were some of the highlights from that one. Clare put in a really, really good performance against Monaghan in a lot of ways. A lot better than what they've been showing in previous weeks and probably more to their level. They were actually up by 7 at half time. There was a really strong wind. Monaghan came out in the second half and 6 2-pointers ended up getting them over the line, a 125 to 116 game.
A lead is just worth nothing at the moment, is it? Like 7 or 8 points there against the wind. It's going to be reeled in. It just is, like, it is.
14-7 at half time, and just as Monaghan entered the fourth quarter, they went a point head through a Conor McCarthy goal, but it was two Jack McCarron, two pointers either side of the goal that really kind of helped them pull away there. Clare get a goal and pull it back. Clare still have a chance to go through. They're playing Loud on the last day. Loud, the Leinster winners, still have their opportunity to make it through. They don't have a home pitch anyway, so maybe it didn't matter that Loud didn't get a home quarterfinal. They play Clare now in the final round of games. And Monaghan
massive
down
game. Massive game for Loud. Massive game. Yeah, we thought Loud might be under pressure up in Uri. Just the bounce that Conor Lavery and those down players would have got from that win. Impressive win down at Cusick Park. And brilliant. Like, they're talking about under the radar. Like, they cruising through with a game to spare, like, so. Did Monaghan play down in the last game of the National League as well? And it was like Monaghan to secure a top spot.
Oh, they did. They did, you're right.
And it was
right.
It was a mad, like, there was nothing really on the line, but if Monaghan got over it, if scores went against them, they wouldn't have got top spots. So it's another game, semi-dead rubber, but if Monaghan can win that and get through straight to a quarter.
Laverty's done a good job with Down, though, hasn't he? Like, they have a steady progress constantly, getting better and better and better. No meteoric rise, you know, like shooting up. But I mean, you can just tell it's going step by step, it's going the right direction. I think he's doing a great job with them.
Oh, massively so. You can see that. And big win for them at the weekend, holding on to that 24-point win. Let's get to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Super Value Páirc Uí Chaoimh. By no means last on the list, but it's just ended up that way. James, please don't take this as another slide against Kerry. I thought there was a couple of things in this game. I do not. I'm a massive fan of Kerry. I thought there was a couple of things in this game that were quite interesting. I might get to my points in a few minutes. Paddy, what did you find interesting here?
Kerry weren't great in the first half, but up the intensity and a little bit of quality in the second half. There was a massive, massive breeze. You couldn't really see it on the telly, but talking to some of our team who were down at it and then just listening to the players afterwards. Kerry said that a little bit of quality second half and they were under pressure. Paddy Clifford going off is a worry. Dermot O'Connor missing the game is a worry for them, but Clifford get the ball into him, kicked a couple of massive scores. Beautiful two-pointer straight after halftime. Shawnee Shea was still finding his form, getting back to full fitness, but he nailed some beautiful frees, long-range frees. And the two-pointers, a little bit of quality that Cork just don't have up front, that was the difference in the end. But Kerry in the first half, I said this on air on GAA Plus, just when teams are really direct running at them, they are too easy to get through. Now, they upped the intensity and a little bit of, maybe that row just at halftime gave Kerry a bit of a kick in the backside, which probably helped them in the end. But
strange decision to give them black cards for that one.
That's the rule.
Yeah,
That's the rule now. Yeah. In the Malie is brought in by the FRC. If there's a Malie.
I didn't think there was a lot in it at all. I know Joe O'Connor maybe gets a bit of a dud, but
that's it. He got a belt of a shoulder. He went down and he gets black haired.
Come on. They clashed going in. Like there was nothing.
Nothing actually happens in the whole thing. It goes on for about 3 minutes and nothing actually happens.
There's nothing
at their tail up.
The rule
they obviously get early gets to score before half.
Hold me backs is right, yeah.
Look, I thought it was a shy game, to be honest.
Jesus,
Kerry were going to win. Kerry were going to win. Disappointed to see Paddy Clifford go off because that little bit of quality he showed in the first half. One highlight for this game for me, well, two, and both come from David Clifford, surprisingly enough. The score he gets in the first half, where Kerry turn Cork over in their own 21, kick pass out the line, kick pass out the Geaney, going out to the far stand side of the sideline. He turns, doesn't even look, diagonal kick pass inside the Clifford score. It was a smile on my face. If you love good football and just kick pass, skill execution, Kerry at their absolute best, it was beautiful. Paddy Clifford put another one into Paul Geaney. He gets a great score after selling about 400 dummies. He was not passing that ball. He was just going to get a shot off in the first half.
The score at the left.
But the kick passing in, it's Kerry. It's beautiful to see. And then Clifford score after half time from about 100 yards out with the wind. They were the two highlights for me. But outside of that, Kerry defensively, I worry when their teams are running at them away. It's Matty Taylor cutting through. Cork had opportunities, didn't have the quality to take them. Very similar to what we've seen in the Munster semi-final 6 weeks ago. Kerry play Meath next. We'll win that game. We'll top the group, go through to the quarters. I worry about them under the most intense pressure, that defence.
James, just to clarify that. So the new rule brought in, contributing to a melee, whether it was a melee or not, I think it was a melee. If I go to get my teammate out of the melee, is that okay? Yes. So long as you are solely engaged with trying to remove your teammate who's involved in the melee, that's fine. My teammate is being pushed around in the melee. Can I go in and try and get the opposition player to stop? No. If you are the third or subsequent player into a melee and you are not solely engaged in trying to remove your teammate, the referee can give you a black card. So that's the new rule, because I think the only time we ever saw it was Goff producing the 5 red cards in the Tyrone Armagh game. That was the only time we really saw it being dished out properly. And I think the feeling was
Dubs and Mead many years ago, Tommy.
Paddy,
that was all
Paddy
contributed
got
to a melee. Contributed Paddy, to a melee. Fuck
Paddy
shit.
And Bernard. Paddy and Bernard walking off in Parnell Park.
Four red cards. Yeah. Why did Jack O'Connor get a yellow card?
I don't know. But isn't melee the biggest GA word ever?
Schmazel is close as well.
Melee, I've never heard in any other setting or situation. Just, there was a bit of a melee.
there was a fucking row.
do you know what the definition is? A confused fight or scuffle or a confused crowd of people. Yeah. So,
Jimmy, what did you take of Kerry? Come on.
Yeah, go on, give us it.
Let's get a few texts of a few Kerry people now.
I think Kerry knew they were going to win.
Yeah.
They were probably trying to work on a few things. They weren't playing for their lives. It wasn't do or die. They didn't get to that level. But they kick 128. That's the thing about Kerry. They have an ability to rack up big scores. And I think there was a bit of criticism from people to say that they weren't embracing the two-point rule. They kick 5 two-pointers, which was, I think, important to get
seven,
them.
Seven, Jimmy.
They kick seven.
Seven 2 points.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was seven.
Well, that's a lot. That is a lot. Including Tom Sullivan, Kelvin got one. But like, I think that's important.
5 points.
4, and I was home in bed. But like that's one thing that they needed to work on. I think they did. I think that if they can add that bit to their game, which they have, it'll be important going forward. I think that Kerry have been decent defensively up to now. I know what you're saying. They do look a bit vulnerable, but they haven't been punished yet because I don't think they've come up against any opposition who's been able to really
Cork had 4 goal chances though, Jimmy. First half. That's Cork. Yeah. Cork eight.
Actually,
Cork eight hot, like.
Shane Ryan had a phenomenal first half. In fairness.
His penalty save was exceptional.
Yeah, and even the save from Matty Taylor, he was big, he was strong, he was brave. The opposite, for Shane Walsh's goal in the Derry game, do you know the standard of goalie, like shot stopping is so important to get out and make yourself big and score the ball. Shane Ryan's up there with the best of them. But the only obviously kind of worry for Kerry is that Paddy Clifford came off again. That was something I think they tried to kind of tidy up for him, and he missed the Roscommon game, but it's obviously flared up again. So
yeah,
we'll have to get Paddy back firing. I still think that you can't read into Kerry playing a Division 2 team to see where they are in terms of winning the All-Ireland. It's only when you see them against a Galway, Dublin, Tyrone, Donegal, Armagh, that you really see who's where, do you know? So I wouldn't be too concerned that Kerry didn't shoot the lights out, but their ability to rack up high scores is still going to have them in the mix.
I thought
Killian's play was plus. Yeah.
Tom Archer had a mighty game when he came in.
Once he got going in the second half, Killian Spillane as well. You know, he's seen game time. He's kind of in and out, not getting runs, but he came on. He kicked a couple of good scores. We know he can do that. That's, I don't know. He strikes me, Jimmy. You obviously know him far better as a linear confidence player. You know, he nails his first one, and all of a sudden he can get red hot. But the worry is like Joe O'Connor is obviously, we've spoken about him a lot. He's a massive plus. Kerry are going to get to where they're going. They need Dermot O'Connor back there, so that's a worry. And then obviously Paddy Clifford, but it's, Kerry won't win the All-Ireland if Paddy Clifford's not on the pitch, so that's a worry for them. Just to try and get, he's so pivotal, not just his own game, but to the how that forward unit plays. So they can take give him a break against Meath. They're in a similar situation to Armagh. Quarter final is really what they're looking at, which gives them a little bit of breathing space for those guys.
But. Yeah, and Kerry should be able to time their run again. Do you know, with the 2 weeks, it's a huge advantage. But like Clifford ends up with 1-8, Shawnee Shea ends up with 9 points. Like they have two outstanding score getters there that not many teams are going to have that quality. So, well, Kerry will still be in the mix. I'm looking forward to seeing them against some of the top teams, because I don't think anyone knows exactly where Kerry are just yet. Even the league final, Mayo didn't show up. I think that maybe everyone thought the Kerry were a little bit better than what they really were. But if we see them against a good side in the quarter final, I think it'd be very interesting. But no, they'd be down there, but
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the stats and solo GA account on Twitter, which it works like the algorithms and has all these stats, and like he's not saying everything is going to be perfect, but he runs it through a model. And the most likely semi-final pairing that Kerry will get this year is Armagh, a repeat of last year. And it's not perfect. It's like a 60% likelihood given the way the teams are lined up and all that sort of thing. But that would be a pretty interesting All-Ireland semi-final once more between the two of them. So a couple of quick ones.
Tools, I think the tools Armagh have, and Donegal in particular, the way those teams play with that really precise running game, that would hurt. That's a major area of concern for Kerry, the way those two teams play.
Yeah. I agree. I think they would be dangerous. Armagh, certainly. The only thing that Kerry have in the locker is that ability to kick it. If they can just increase that another notch every time, just get a little bit sharper with moving it with the foot, they can open teams up. Like, the space is there. Dublin showed it against Armagh. There was loads of room inside in the full forward line. Like, plenty of it. Dublin just didn't execute. I think Kerry, with Clifford and Gainey and Shawnee Shea, would be able to make it hay if they're on it.
But that's why Dermot O'Connor and Paddy Clifford are so critical, because they have the skill set to do that.
Yes, yeah.
You know, David Clifford would be pulling his fucking hair out because he's Gavin White at the ball and going a 90-yard solo run. Just kick the thing. So let's see how it pans out, though, anyway. Kerry, watch this space, because we're not going to see, a whole pile for sure. A quarter final.
Yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday with our members' football pod. We'll be talking a bit more about the weekend just gone, because so much went on and there's a few bits we haven't got that we'll be looking ahead to the weekend ahead as well. Just a couple of quick comments. Lads, what about Rian O'Neill? Back like he never left. Hashtag box office and a popcorn emoji. Jamie asks, and his actual Instagram handle is Ask Jamie, how many takes for that video? James referring to the Monday Minute. So.
It's usually one. It was probably two or three today. Right?
Sean Burke wants to know, Paddy, are the Baggies back in business?
The Aussies? No.
Okay. Sorry. Jack Hughes. Well, maybe we'll see. There were sparks. We'll see what happens against Cork. Actually, Gaelic Statsman who's a Cork native, has this ridiculous stat that I couldn't believe. If Cork failed to beat Roscommon, or they failed to get any further, they've reached the last 12 of the All-Ireland in every season since 2004, apart from the COVID years in 20 and 21. I can't believe that. It feels like they haven't been in the mix that much, but they've reached the last 12 every year since 2004, apart from 2020 and 21 when it was pure knockout. So,
but the last 12 isn't in the mix either, like, really.
It's quarterfinals.
It's not.
No. Quarterfinals is the last 8, Tommy.
Okay.
How many points do you get the leaving, Tommy?
Not that many.
I was there last when they lost to Loud and Inniskeen in one of the worst games of football ever played.
Yes, fair. Fair. Okay, I should have thought about that one before I opened my mouth. Armagh, surely in the top two contenders for the All-Ireland now. Hashtag thoughts.
Yep.
We've already said it. I think you've already said it, James. And a bit of a
precursor to
our rankings tomorrow.
Agree.
Okay.
I think they're number one.
Shane Manton, poor decisions with the three up and poor shooting, but Dublin are right in it otherwise. They aren't done. I think that's sentiments shared by the two of you.
Fair.
But Get Fit PT, must be personal trainer. Do this Dublin squad have a chance of reaching the semi-final despite getting a clipping yesterday?
Yeah, they get to a semi-final.
Okay. Cathal Coireann, and this is off the back of what John Cleary and Jack O'Connor were saying. Does the 50-metre penalty need to be reduced? It's the same penalty as an AFL and it's a pitch three quarters the size of it.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's crazy.
How long is the AFL pitch?
200 metres. Kick-up mark.
It's the oval, it's too penal, I get the rationale behind it, but we've seen it the weekend, teams are just bringing it back out for a 2-pointer. I don't think the punishment fits the crime.
You're hung with the mark here with the kind of clash.
But even guys, like, in the process of competing for the ball and just their momentum carries it. Okay, there's some blatantly obviously trying to slow them down, fair enough, but some of them are very questionable. And the penalty for it, 2 points, mm-hmm. like it's bring it up 20 metres maybe.
Yeah, but as well, in Croke Park, it's kind of more sheltered as well in terms of the wind isn't going to be as much. And if we're talking about the business end of the championship in July, a 2-pointer becomes a lot easier when the ball's a bit warmer, it's hotter, there's less wind. Like, 2 points there, going down the stretch and not on a fine or something for something small like that.
Yeah.
It would be hard to swallow if you were on the receiving end of one of those.
I think they will change it. I think they'll change that. It's having too big an impact for
even Eamon said infraction. It in commentary. Did you hear Chris Meyer said something in the commentary? He was like, we're kind of looking at that a bit. So it seems like it's on the agenda, right?
Yeah, I think it might be just cleaning it up a little bit and making it clear that he actually actively stopped him once the play had developed after
Or even 20 metres is fine.
Yeah, possibly. Okay,
any comments where people aren't agreeing with what we're saying? Come on, give us some shit.
No, we got some good stuff there. Do you know what? I'll put up a question box and ask people to give you shit for Wednesday and we can do it on Wednesday's show. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, great to be back chatting with you. Thanks for catching up on this Bank Holiday Monday. We'll be back lunchtime Wednesday. We'll have our member show. We'll have a nice pot out on Wednesday afternoon as well. So thanks to everybody for tuning in. Fellas, we'll talk soon.
Good night, friends. Bye.